Now, when you think of the Old Testament's prophets and how they delivered their messages to the people from God, how do you think they did that? When they stood up to speak, did they sort of have a voice speaking to them from God and they just delivered what they heard? Or was it sort of a stream of consciousness, a sort of extemporaneous proclamation of what they heard from God? Well, sometimes, in fact, this week my wife and I were reading in 1 Kings, and God said to the prophet, say this to them, and he went and told the king what God had said to them. But not always. It's actually probably rarely like that. God's Spirit undoubtedly impressed upon the prophets what he wanted them to communicate. But the prophets also studied God's word. They studied the scriptures they had access to. They crafted what they had to say. And actually, in the prophecy that we're going to look at tonight, you can see how they had studied and taken God's word. And it's a marvelously crafted message. Amos was the first of the writing prophets. He came from the southern kingdom of Judah, went to the northern kingdom of Israel, and he spoke to the people there, and he spoke to them. Now, Israel in the north, Judah in the south, were at this time experiencing tremendous prosperity, even though there was tension between the two kingdoms. The prophecy of Amos was probably around 760 B.C., and in today's lesson, we're going to examine the prophecy of Amos, in which he announces God's judgment on the nations that were surrounding Israel in the north and Judah in the south. But surprisingly, God announces his judgment on Israel and Judah as well. And as one examines this prophecy, which was delivered in the northern kingdom of the city of Bethel, one discovers a very carefully prepared outline. There are repetitive patterns that mark one nation from the other. There are opening and closing statements. There are indictments of sin and punishments that were promised. It's a wonderful, well-crafted, and powerful message. Now, this is a long reading. It's almost two chapters. In fact, I am going to read all two chapters. So if you'd prefer to sit, that's fine. But if you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as I read to you from the Word of God. And I'm going to begin reading at chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through the end of chapter 2. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, I will not revoke the punishments, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing sledges of iron. So I will send a fire upon the house of Hazael, and it shall devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad. I will break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon, and him who holds the scepter from Beth Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza and for 4, I will not revoke punishment, because they carried into exile a whole people to deliver them to Edom. So I will send fire upon the wall of Gaza, and it shall devour her strongholds. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and him who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyre and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment, because they delivered up a whole people to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. So I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it shall devour her strongholds. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not revoke the punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all pity, and his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. So I will send a fire upon Teman, and it shall devour the strongholds of Bozra. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the Ammonites, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead, and they might enlarge their border. So I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour her strongholds. With shouting on the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, and their king shall go into exile, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because he burned to lime the bones of the king of Edom. So I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the strongholds of Kerioth, and Moab shall die amid uproar, amid shouting and the sound of the trumpet. I will cut off the ruler from its midst, and will kill its principal princes with him, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his statutes, but their lies have led them astray, those after which their fathers walked. So I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted. A man and his father go into the same girl, so that my holy name is profaned. They lay themselves down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge, and in the house of their God they drink the wine of those who have been fined. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorites before them, those whose height was like the height of the cedars and who was as strong as the oaks. I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also it was I who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and led you 40 years in the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up some of your sons for prophets, and some of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not indeed so, O people of Israel, declares the Lord? But you made the Nazarites drink wine, and commanded the prophets, saying, you shall not prophesy. Behold, I'll press you down in your place as a cart full of sheaves presses down. Flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not retain his strength, nor shall the mighty save his life. He who handles the bow shall not stand, and he who is swift of foot shall not save himself, nor shall he who rides the horse save his life. And he who is stout of heart among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, declares the Lord. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Enable us to respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this passage that I read to you today shows that God's judgment falls on all who sin against him. And there are just two main points I want to bring out. First, God's judgment falls on the nations, the people who are not God's people. And second, God's judgment falls on his people. So let's begin by first looking at God's judgment falling on the nations. Amos pronounced God's judgment on six nations that surrounded Judah, which was in the south, and Israel, that was in the north. And one commentator shows a map how how Amos shows this judgment fall on the nations, and it's like a noose tightening around the neck of God's people as judgment was pronounced on them. And regarding each judgment, one also sees a pattern. The judgment against each nation and also against the people of God, God's people, Judah and Israel, begins with these words, "Thus says the Lord." You see that eight times. Moreover, the judgment against the nations, although not every nation, concludes with "says the Lord" or "says the Lord God" or "declares the Lord." And furthermore, you probably noticed the opening phrase of each statement of each judgment, "for three transgressions of," and then the nation stated, "and for four." What exactly does that mean? And I looked at various commentaries and commentators and so on. And the best one is probably the ESV Study Bible, which says this: "This poetic expression is used to introduce the judgment upon all seven of the neighboring nations and upon Israel as well." So all eight, six nations, Judah and Israel. It's a way of expressing totality. Three expresses the plural in Hebrew, and by raising it to four, the idea of multiplicity is conveyed. And so basically Amos is saying, for a lot of sins, there's a multiplicity of sins, and then he highlights one or two. And then he also concludes with judgment, and fire is used in every single case. God's judgment, God's fire, is going to fall in judgment upon them. Amos is saying is God is no longer going to show mercy, but is now going to pour out his wrath in judgment upon people. And then each judgment includes an indictment of the sin against the nation, as well as a sentence against the nation. I'm not going to do a deep dive on each of these. I just want to summarize each sin and each sentence against each nation. And at the end, I want to conclude with a few thoughts. So first, God's judgment on Syria. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus." Now, Damascus is used here, but Damascus is the city that is the capital city of Syria. We use that today. We might say that Washington spoke to London, meaning that the America spoke to the United Kingdom. And that's what the prophet is doing here. Damascus represents the capital city of Syria. It's also used in the nation of Philistia. Gaza is used, and Phoenicia, Tyre is used. Now, the sin of Syria was that they threshed the Israelite city of Gilead. Look at the end of verse 3. "They have threshed Gilead with the threshing sledges of iron." They didn't just conquer them or beat them, but they took these threshing sledges and hauled it over the people and brutalized them. And so the sentence against Syria was that they were burned with fire and sent into exile. Verses 4a and 5b. "So I will send fire upon the house of Hazael, and the people of Syria shall go into exile to Kir." Look at Philistia, verse 6. "The sin of Philistia, that they sold God's people into slavery. They carried into exile a whole people to deliver them up to Edom." Now, when there was war, usually the soldiers went as prisoners of war, But the Philistines took the woman and the children and sold them to Edom as well. So they took the entire population, and their sentence was they would also be torched, and the remnant of the Philistines would be killed. Verses 7a and 8, so I will send fire upon the wall of Gaza, says God, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish. Next is Phoenicia. The sin of the Phoenicians was that they betrayed God's people and broke their treaty with them. Verse 9, they delivered up a whole people to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. Now, the covenant spoken of here is not God's covenant with his people, but it is a treaty. And that they betrayed this treaty, they violated this treaty and betrayed the people of God. And the sentence against Phoenicia was that their city would be burned, as it says in verse 10. So I'll send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it shall devour her strongholds. Next is Edom. The sin of Edom was that they hounded the people of Israel with a sword. Verse 11, he pursued his brother with the sword. And Edom, you may recall, were the descendants of Esau. You remember Jacob and Esau. So that's why he is referred to as a brother, because there was a relationship. But the Edomites used every opportunity to express their wrath and their enmity against Israel. And so the sentence against them was that their city would be burned in verse 12. So I will send fire upon Timan, and it shall devour the strongholds of Bozrah. Next is Ammon. The sin of Ammon was that they ripped open pregnant women in Gilead in order to enlarge their territory, as it says in verse 13. They've ripped open pregnant women in Gilead that they might enlarge their border. Not content just to defeat the people, they apparently showed their horror against the people by ripping open the woman and killing their children. The sentence against Ammon was that their city will be burned and their royal leadership will be banished in exile. Verse 14, so I'll kindle a fire against the wall in Rabbah. And verse 15, and their king shall go into exile, he and his princes together. And then the sixth judgment was against Moab. The sin of Moab was that they desecrated graves, showing no respect for the dead. Of chapter 2, verse 1, we read, he burned to lime the bones of the king of Edom. Not content to leave the king in his grave, the Moabites got his bones and burned them in order to desecrate his memory. And the sentence against Moab was that they would be burned and their leadership would be killed. Verse 2, and so I will send fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the strongholds of Kerioth. And verse 3, and I will cut off the ruler from its midst, and will kill all its princes with him. So those are the judgments against the surrounding nations. But now let's look at the judgment against the people of God. Now Amos spoke in Israel, and his message was directed against them. But here I want to include Judah, because at one time they were both united. And both nations had the law of God, and they knew what God expected of them. So look at God's judgment on Judah. And the sin against Judah was that they rejected the law of God, as it says so clearly in verse 4. And they have rejected the law of the Lord, and have not kept its statutes. Now, what's interesting is that Amos was from Judah. He was from Tekoa, which was near Jerusalem, and he was speaking God's judgment against his own people. They did not live by the law of God. They did what they wanted to do. And the sentence against Judah was that they would be burned and the city of Jerusalem destroyed, as we see in verse 5. So I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. Now, you may recall that I mentioned that Amos preached this message in 760 BC, and Jerusalem was destroyed in 586. 174 years later, this judgment came true against Jerusalem, and the people were carried into exile by the Babylonians. And then we have the judgment against Israel. Now, if you were sitting in the city and Amos was preaching, they would have probably said, yeah, go for it. Edom deserves it. The Philistines deserve judgment. The Ammonites deserve judgment. Yeah, and even Judah deserves judgment. Yeah, we're for you. And this is where James Boyce tells a story of a woman who attended an evangelistic service, and she heard that the preacher was going to talk about sin. And when he preached against strong drink, she said, "Preach it, brother, preach it." And when he preached against tobacco, she said, "Amen, amen." And then when the preacher preached against gossiping, she turned to the person sitting next to her and said, "Now he's no longer preaching, he's meddling." And this is probably exactly how the people of Israel felt, because suddenly Amos turns it all in on them. And the sins of Israel were numerous. I'm not going to read them, but verses 6 through 12, the sins include bribery, cruelty to the poor, immorality of the most heinous kind, hypocrisy, and tempting the godly to sin. And this is what Amos says was true of the people of Israel. And their sentence was that their enemies would defeat them. And that's in verses 13 through 16. Israel was eventually defeated by Assyria and taken into captivity by Assyria. And this was less than 40 years after he preached. He preached in about 760. And in 722, the Assyrians took the Israelites into captivity. So, what do we learn from this? None of the six surrounding nations had any relationship with God. They were really enemies of God. They didn't have the Word of God. The Word of God was not given to them. The law of God was not given to them. And you say, well, why did God hold them accountable? Because although they were not given the law of God, it was written on their hearts. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says that the law of God is written on every person's heart. And so they will be held accountable for their sin against God. You know, there are people in the world, countries, nations, people, some people have never ever had any contact with God's word. They know nothing about Jesus. And they will be judged. Why? Because they have violated the law of God that was written on their hearts. But the second thing is that the people of God did have the law of God, and yet they rejected God's law. And there's a tendency to think that we're fine because we have God's word. We go to church. We've made a profession of faith. We claim to be Christians. But the root of true faith always results in the fruit of righteousness. In other words, a Christian is a person whose great desire is to obey the word of God in his or her life. And so I would say to every one of us, we claim to be Christian. We call ourselves Christian. We say that we love him. But let us see that fruit displayed in our lives. May our great desire be to obey God's word in every area of our lives so that we do not fall under the judgment of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. I thank you for this marvelous prophecy, so well crafted. Clearly, he had spent a lot of time taking what your word had taught him and what you had impressed upon him and you had revealed to him as your spokesman to the people of Israel. And I pray that you would help us to derive benefit from it thousands of years later, more than 2,000, almost 2,800 years later. And we pray that we would examine our own hearts and lives so that we might live in obedience to your covenant and to be faithful to your covenant in every area of our lives. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.